The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord, praise the Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some strong words this morning as we begin the season of Advent. The 4 weeks in preparation for the celebration of Christmas. Christmas has not begun. The world would have it seem so. Santa Claus is already here in all the stores, but not for us Christians. My brothers and sisters, Jesus' voice today speaking to us is a wake-up call. And it's clear that there are tribulations that will be happening at his coming. It is a wake-up call that we are able to understand the purpose of our life. Purpose is important. It's important to review the purpose of any project, of any undertaking, because as time goes on, sometimes we tend to lose what the goal is in anything. Lives, in sports, and anything, we need to retract and regroup and repurpose ourselves so we know what's the purpose of it all. Why are we doing this? And that happens in corporations, in our homes, and in our lives. Purpose gives us a reason to get up in the morning, to get ready, to dress ourselves, to meet the day and its demands, and to hopefully fulfill what the day calls us to do, end that day in fulfillment with peace and satisfaction as the best we can, even when our goals are not met. Peace and fulfillment, purpose. I remember clearly when I was in South Florida, I had several colleagues, a couple that were internists and doctors, and they had retired. And they became very depressed. And when they came to see me for some problem or something of what they had, half the time they'd be telling me that major depression. It says, nobody really knows me anymore. All their lives, for 30, 40 years, they were a doctor, they wore a lab coat, everybody knew they were respected at the hospital, the meetings, they were on committees, and everything was, that was his purpose, their purpose. Was to treat patients, and all the glory and the respect and the dignity of that we attribute to a physician was all gone. Most do very well with that and go on and do what they do in retirement, but many had some major depression because their purpose for a long time was one thing, and now they don't know what their purpose is. And of course, then with the setting of old age and all that, it becomes a problem. My brothers and sisters, our purpose is now during Advent to reflect on really what our true purpose and our calling from our Lord God that created us is. Advent is not like this ball on New York Square time where we're just countdown waiting for the ball to drop and all of a sudden it's 11:59 when the ball drops, it's 12 and it's the next year. it's not a countdown to Christmas. It is a reflection, a meditation on the purpose of our lives. And Christ reminds us this morning of what that is, that what is the purpose of our lives regards sin. Because if sin did not exist, then we wouldn't be in the predicament that God had to become a man to redeem us. Advent is a time to meditate why we need Christmas. We need Christmas because if we don't have Christmas, then we cease to exist. Because the ravages of sin and the wages of sin is death. And we see death happen all around us. Look in the mirror. Wrinkles. No hair, gray hair, aging, lack of health, lack of friends that are dying around us, and eventually the death of ourselves. Why is this person telling me this on this great, we just sang a beautiful Advent hymn talking about death? It's not my idea. Clearly, Christ in the gospel today is very much more serious than I am. Well, sin. Well, we can say, and we hear a lot, I really don't sin or I need to go to confession. Whether you or I believe that we don't need to go to confession, we suffer personal sin. We do sin. Whether we decide to confess that sin, whether venial or mortal, is between us and God. But Father Beale said that you can clean up a room and leave it immaculate, close the door and let nobody use it, but dust will collect. And you know, you leave a room and you don't use it, and dust will collect. Because we are sinful people. We have inherited that from our parents, Adam and Eve. And so, we're so quick to go to a doctor when we think that we have something. We get scared. I have cancer. Or I have this. We're so quick to go to a physician. And yet to go to the physician of our souls, which is Christ, represented by the priest and the confessional, to clean up our soul and to get it in order, which what Advent is calling us to do, we drag our feet. He said, well, I don't really need confession. St. Augustine says that take care of your body. Go to the physician for your bodily health. He says, take care of your body as if you were going to live forever, but take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. The vestments that we're wearing today and the colors are violet, the same colors that we use at Lent as we prepare. And at a time of repentance for sin, it is the same color we use now. We haven't used it since Lent. We are called during Advent to put our house in order, our soul. Because we're about to celebrate Christmas in 4 weeks, which is the Thanksgiving of what God has done for us, become a man. He has taken and will take on our nature that we may take on his. And since he is purity, since he is pure light, since he is mysterious being, that we are going to share in that supernatural existence. We cannot have sin. Sin cannot be a part of us. And it is a work in progress because St. Paul states, I work out my salvation in fear and trembling. So there is work to be had, and we must cooperate with God in his work. Ultimately, it is his mercy that we depend on, because there is no work, there is no confession, there is no satisfaction or reparation that we can do for our sins that will merit the gift that we are going to have in 4 weeks and commemorate in Christ lowering himself. To raise a human to be like God. It is inexplicable. It is outrageous what awaits us. That actually begins to happen at our baptism, where original sin is erased. And now we begin the sacramental life, and throughout our life as Catholics, we participate in the sacramental life of the Church, receiving the sacraments of the Eucharist and of all the beautiful sacraments that we have. So that, as in the second reading, we may be blameless in holiness before our God the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Advent. Advent. Can anyone really say here sitting right now that we are completely blameless and free of sin? Not even venial sin. My brothers and sisters, let us work with God to bring about what He wants us to be. And so that's what Jesus says, very pointedly. He calls, do not be found drowsy. But not the drowsiness of lack of sleep, but the drowsiness of not really appreciating and understanding and reflecting and meditating and praying, spending time understanding that even now, what power God has in our lives, our sanctification, our restoration, our place in heaven with God begins now. Our lives are a continuum. Death is only a continuum of our beginning of a supernatural life. It begins now. The saints understood that. They embraced that. And we call that the science of the saints. And we're all called to be saints. He calls not to be drowsy at the power of the Blessed Sacrament. To sit there and don't say a thing. You don't have to say a thing. Just sit there. Stare at God in the presence of a wafer that is no longer a wafer, but is God Almighty before us. Let us not be drowsy asleep at the power of the sacrament of confession. That not only does it erase our sins, but it is heals, it counsels, it binds up wounds. It is a salve to our souls that the mercy of God is such that He loves us, that He wants to bring us into His fold. Let us not be drowsy and asleep, like Christ said, to the power of fasting, to the power of silence, the power of meditation, and the power of the cross in our lives, which at the end of the day is what brings us broken and wounded to a God that wants to save us. It's the same cross that He sent His Son. And then Christ also said, do not carouse. Well, yes, do not carouse. Don't be a drunk. But don't be carousing with distractions. Don't get drunk with distractions of life. Nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with TV, but an obsession with TV, an obsession with sports is a distraction to the time that we have here on earth to pray for our brothers and sisters, for those that don't live in America, that live in areas that great suffering is happening. Let us not be carousing with self-pride, with mindless chatter, gossip, envy, drunkenness with possessions, with status, with envy, distractions. It's all distractions. I want you to count this week how many people you see walking around with a phone in their hand. Not walking with a phone in their hand, but how about walking with a phone in their hand and they bump into you? I see at the hospital all the time. Elevator opens and like this, and I'm waiting to see, and I'm just waiting and saying, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, it's fine. We're like go-bots. Not robots, go-bots. We're walking around like this. And most of the time, from my experience where I work, the medical assistants are not checking the labs. They're telling me that some horse in Micanopy is loose on the streets. That was the news on Friday. Great. Okay, let's get back to work. I hope the horse makes it back home. Brothers and sisters, and then finally Christ is clear to be careful of the anxiety of life. Do not, how many times does Christ, when He presents Himself to the apostles, even after the crucifixion, peace. Peace be with you. Peace. Read it. Every time that Christ presents Himself to the apostles, he sends peace. St. Francis de Sales says, anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin. God commands you to pray, but he forbids you to worry. Anxiety, distractions, drunkenness, not knowing, and asleep at the wheel, the power of the sacraments, of the blessed, and all that we have, the church, the sacrament of salvation, is being asleep. We must wake up, and that is what Christ tells us. So, my brothers and sisters, as we prepare for the Christmas season, as we spend time and energy preparing our homes with the decoration, which is phenomenal, it's beautiful, it's Christmas. I mean, it's the preparation for Christmas. As we search for the right gift for that special person, let us spend time and energy preparing the homes and our souls. The souls and the homes of our hearts, our minds, and our souls for his coming. That the rest of our life, what remains of our lives, we may prepare for that great gift. The great gift, the biggest gift that we can give this Christmas is the gift to God. And what is that gift to God? Is to receive well, shaken down, pressed, what he wants to give us, which is divinity. Oh, come, let us adore him in the knowledge, spirit, and gratitude that all is ordered for our benefit.